Methods for modeling time-dependent covariance with non-continuous response found in community health data.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Trent Lalonde from the University of Northern Colorado. And I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about a common issue that comes up with longitudinal data modeling. And the issue is when you have predictors or covariates that are also changing in time in addition to your response. So in the presentation, I'd like to take a couple minutes to talk about some examples of longitudinal data studies, and some examples of also of how you see these time-dependent, time-varying covariates or predictors in these studies. And then I'd like to talk about a few different techniques that people have brought up in publications and in casual conversation, I guess, of handling these time-dependent covariates, and exemplify these with a public health data set for a transitional homeless shelter and applying these for a generalized linear model or modeling account response. Right, so first, longitudinal studies are pretty common, longitudinal studies where you observe subjects over and over. Again, I've got a couple of examples here that I've seen recently that I'd like to talk through just to make sure we're all on the same page. One example, there's some cancer researchers who are interested in the recovery of patients post-treatment. So patients who are known to have cancer, have been treated for cancer, they need to recover somehow, and it's the belief of these researchers that physical activity helps. Aerobic activity, flexibility training, and weight training are all supposed to be beneficial both to physiological recovery, also emotional recovery from cancer treatment. And what the researchers do is they try to recruit patients post-treatment from hospitals. They bring them into their exercise facility, and they work out with them on a regular basis, given that the patients come back. So weekly for patients who are younger and feeling pretty energetic and industrious. Sometimes it's only monthly. Sometimes it's only a couple of visits. But they're observing these patients repeatedly. And there are a lot of things they're trying to monitor. A lot of aspects of emotional health or physical health, but we could even think of something very, very basic that they'd like to monitor, like remission, like the chances of maintaining remission. I believe there's an association between all of these aerobic exercise indicators, things like upper respiratory indicators, also amount of weight they lift, the time they can handle on a treadmill, the incline they can handle, and whether or not they remain in remission. We're observing these individuals over time. Another recent example, I came across some dairy farmers are interested in modeling the health of their cattle. Of course, they don't want their dairy cows to become ill, they don't want them to die, and they don't want the milk to be spoiled by illness. And there are a number of different illnesses that can affect dairy cows. Could be anything from a foot abscess that prevents them from moving at all, to things like pneumonia, or mastitis that really can affect dairy production permanently through the life of the cow, or even take the life of the cow. And they try to assess whether you can predict the chances of falling into these categories of illness based on common measurements like the cow's temperature, dietary habits, even reproductive status, basically, can have an effect on the health of the cow. And again, we're measuring these things over and over again. These are longitudinal studies. So in both of these examples, I've kind of slyly snuck in these time-dependent covariates. The predictors I've mentioned are changing in time. So with these researchers who are interested in whether this aerobic performance or strength conditioning or flexibility is having an effect on recovery from cancer treatment, the physical activity of the individuals is different every time. I mean, the amount that the individuals run on a treadmill is going to be different from week to week to week. The respiratory performance of these patients in remission is going to change every time they visit. So there's a predictor in a longitudinal study that's changing, as well as the response. Also with these dairy cows that were being monitored weekly and even daily, something like temperature is almost never going to be the same. And we're trying to use temperature as a predictor in some model to predict the chance of falling into illness. Something like temperature, something like pregnancy, something like the diet of the cow, these things all change. So again, we have these predictors, these covariates, these X values that are changing in time. So what do we do about this? Unfortunately, Unfortunately, often this is ignored. It shouldn't be ignored, and I guess I'll mention a couple of reasons why it shouldn't be ignored through the talk. But there's some approaches that I've heard people discuss or read about or worked with on my own. One approach is to take the time dependence right out of the covariance. This isn't a great approach. This is not the ideal approach, but a good knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, my covariates are changing in time. Why don't I just average them? Again, not the responses. We're not talking about taking the time dependence out of the responses, but out of our predictors. So using an average value, using a baseline value, these are common immediate responses that people can suggest because they take this time-dependent covariate issue right out of the equation. A couple of other approaches that are more appropriate, generalized estimating equations can be applied as long as you're cautious about which working correlation structure you use. So generalized estimating equations, another option when you have time dependence in your predictors. And finally, the most current method that I'll spend a few minutes talking about towards the end is applying generalized method of moments. You can apply the generalized method of moments to account for this time dependence in your covariates, but you have to make some decisions about how you want to treat your time-dependent covariates in these models. So what I'll do for the rest of the talk is use an example data set to exemplify these different approaches. The example data set I want to work with is with the Greeley Transitional House. This is a local homeless shelter, transitional homeless shelter in a somewhat rural area outside of the greater Denver area. So the transitional house is a place to provide specifically families in need of shelter and food. But it's supposed to be more than just a place where you can sleep overnight and get something to eat. It's intended to help get these families back on their feet. So there are specifically some somewhat unique services offered by this transitional house. And I've got a couple of those listed up there. One of their unique services is what they call case management. So when families come into the transitional house, their cases can be managed by the staff at the house. Case management means that they help the families learn to live without assistance. And this can be almost anything. This could be help learning how to obtain and prepare a meal instead of going out to eat. It could be something like knowing how to use public transportation. It could be help with English. It could be help, locating health care for their children, making sure their children go to school. So case management is just overall training people to live on their own so that they don't fall back into the homeless shelter later on. Second thing that's kind of unique to the shelter is job training. Occasionally they will provide specific job training to help these families obtain employment when they get out of the shelter. So the shelter does have a limit. They limit, it's kind of flexible, but they try to keep them to 60 days and nights in the shelter. Some families stay a little longer. Most of them we've seen stay less time. But this can span a number of different months. And what would really be helpful to the people who run the shelter is if we could help them model length of stay. They want to know how long people typically stay in the transitional house on a monthly basis. So we repeatedly observe families month after month after month, observe how long they stay in the shelter. We have longitudinal data. We have longitudinal counts of how many nights they spend in the shelter each month. And some of the indicators we want to use to try to model how long they stay in the shelter are changing in time. These case management hours can fluctuate. Could work with a family for 4 hours 1 month and 14 hours the next month. So we have a longitudinal data set where some of our predictors are changing in time. Different values each month. So our two time-dependent covariates that we're going to consider in this model of the length of stay are going to be the job training and the case management hours. We'd like to model those appropriately to try to give a good estimate for how long we think people will stay in the shelter. I'll also throw a couple of others in there. I think the two I stuck with were unemployment status and the number of children. These are a couple that we would suspect would have an impact on the length of stay in a transitional house. Although, honestly, from looking at the descriptives in this data set, it's a little bit maybe disappointing or disturbing or revealing, depending on how you look at it, but it's about a 50-50 split between these parents being employed and unemployed in the homeless shelter. So we would actually expect unemployment not to be significant. Right, so again, I'm going to go through those different approaches, the techniques we have for our time-dependent covariates. The first approach I mentioned is kind of taking the dependence out of it, taking these covariates that are changing in time, making them not change in time. This isn't, again, a sophisticated or an ideal approach, but it is an initial reaction you might have to get information from the data. So we're going to take those covariates, case management hours, job training, these things that change, make them fixed. As a first approach, we'll take the baseline values. So whatever number of case management hours these individuals had their first month, whether or not they have job training, that's what we're going to use for every month. Even though we know these change, we're going to stick with the initial month value. And what we see is all of our predictors are highly significant. So what I did, didn't want to get bogged down with a lot of details of the models, but we're fitting a log linear model, essentially, log link. So the logarithm of our length of stay, the number of nights versus these predictors. And we used generalized estimating equations in this case. So all of our predictors are highly significant. We also noticed that case management hours and job training are associated with an increase in the length of stay. This at first seems counterintuitive, but this is what we see with all of our models. It's not that case management hours cause people to stay longer. It's just that people who have a lot of case management hours tend to be at the homeless shelter longer. So there's an association there, but not this cause and effect. Okay, if we change this to average values, instead of just using the initial value, if we average all of the predictors, again, we're not doing anything to the response, but with these time-dependent covariates, averaging them over all the times we've observed, almost all of our predictors are significant. We see the same behavior with case management hours and the job training. Suddenly, we lose the significance of the number of children. So number of children is no longer significant, although the behavior of unemployment status seems to remain the same. So we get kind of these inconsistent results when we try to take these time-dependent covariates and make them fixed. And it's not clear which one should be used, which one is correct or incorrect. So probably a better approach is the next technique I mentioned, using generalized estimating equations. So again, generalized estimating equations is this moment-based method where you construct estimating equations, these combinations of basically residual terms with some derivatives with respect to our parameters that have expected value zero. It turns out a couple of authors have looked into the behavior of generalized estimating equations. Excuse me, like Pepe and Anderson, Lyon Small have looked into it as well and have discussed that what happens is if you construct estimating equations from generalized estimating equations that combine a response at a certain time with a changing covariate value from a different time, you can often get estimating equations that don't have a zero expected value. So they're not proper estimating equations in that case. And the problem really occurs off the diagonal, essentially, in your working correlation structure. So it's most appropriate, if you're going to use generalized estimating equations with time-dependent covariates, to use some kind of diagonal working correlation structure. So the most common working correlation structure that people suggest is independence. An independent working correlation structure is going to be diagonal. It is going to avoid using those estimating equations that aren't true estimating equations. So we can apply independent GEE, and then we get those benefits of GEE. We get consistent estimators. So we believe that with a large enough sample, we are getting at our true values. And again, case management, job training are highly significant. Notice we get the sign flipped on the number of children, although it doesn't matter. It's showing that it's not significant. Also, we're starting to lose the significance of unemployment status. So this is it's probably something that you should trust more than just forcing those time-dependent covariates to be fixed. And it is showing us slightly different behavior, slightly different results than what we saw with either averaging or taking baseline values. Okay, so the final technique, the latest technique, is using the generalized method of moments. Generalized method of moments with different types of time-dependent covariates. So Lyon Small a few years ago looked at using the generalized method of moments to look at these time-dependent covariates. And the idea was specifically to address that issue of constructing estimating equations that don't have zero expected value. And the key to their approach is classifying the type of time-dependent covariate that you run into. So I'll try to give some intuition about these three different types of time-dependent covariates. Type 1, time-dependent covariates, basically timekeepers. These are time-dependent covariates that change in a very predictable way, something like time itself. If time is a predictor in your model, it'd be type 1. Age would be something that's type 1. If we indicated the month that these individuals were at the transitional shelter, these would be type 1 time-dependent covariates. And in this case, it turns out that you can construct estimating equations with all combinations of the current time for your response and other times for your time-dependent predictors. So all the combinations of estimating equations are appropriate. So I'll jump down to the type 3 time-dependent covariates. Type 3 time-dependent covariates are probably the most complicated. They involve some kind of feedback in general. And by feedback, I mean that not only are the covariates affecting the response is coming back and affecting those time-dependent covariates again. So there are all kinds of convoluted examples you can come up with. Maybe something that might hit close to home with some individuals is I guess going to the hospital and blood pressure. You might believe that if you have high blood pressure, you might want to go to the hospital or at least see your physician to get it checked out. So different values of blood pressure cause people to show up at their physician's front door, or maybe not the front door, but the office. On the other hand, a lot of people feel stress associated with seeing a physician, so being at the physician's office can cause your blood pressure to go up. This is something that can potentially have a feedback effect. So time-dependent covariates of this nature we call type 3. Type 2 time-dependent covariates are defined as those that are just not type 1 and type 2. To try to get a feel for what these are, the appropriate combinations for type 2 time-dependent covariates are the current response time and all previous covariate times. One thing to keep in mind is maybe an autoregressive type of behavior. Previous responses can have an effect on the current response, so previous responses can become predictors. It turns out that type 1 and type 2 seem to be the most common types of time-dependent covariates we see. So in these models, I declared both case management hours and job training to be type 2, and then I have a model on the next slide where we have both of them as type 3. It doesn't seem appropriate to treat them as type 1 covariates. They're not keeping time. They're not something like age or month or anything like that. So this is the analysis with both as type 2 time-dependent covariates. We get very similar results for case management, although with job training, we're starting to lose that significance. I mean, this is just borderline, that there's an association of longer length of stay with job training. And we're seeing that neither unemployment nor number of children is significant. Again, this is what I said we saw with our descriptives. When we put together contingency tables, there's a lot of balance between how long people are staying there and whether or not they have employment and how many children they have. So this is more consistent with our intuition, with what we saw. And if we declare both case management hours and job training to be type 3 time-dependent covariates, we get kind of strange results. We lose the significance of case management hours altogether. Job training is highly significant. Some of the signs of the parameters change. I suspect this is because I don't think these are type 3 time-dependent covariates. I don't think we have a feedback relationship. I don't think that giving people case management hour attention tends to keep them at the transitional house. I think the consequences of case management and job training are more seen after they leave the house. So a few concluding remarks here. First of all, ignoring the time dependence is a poor choice. Ignoring dependence in models, especially with generalized linear models, you tend to see inflation of type 1 error rates. And we saw that. We saw that when we tried to force our predictors to be fixed, everybody came out significant. We saw significance even in predictors that probably are not significant. Independent GEE is something that's commonly been recommended, and you do get that benefit of consistent GEE estimators, although they're not as efficient as generalized method of moments estimators. You could be ignoring potentially useful estimating equations. In this particular example, it did look like type 2 time-dependent covariates were most appropriate for these data. What we're currently working on is a few methods to try to statistically determine which type of time-dependent covariate is most appropriate within GMM. So that's it. If there are any questions, I guess we'll have to wait for later, but I'd be glad to have discussions about the methods or the house itself.
We have time for one question.
Oh. Yes?
Yeah, it's a bit of a clarification, I guess. But,
yeah.
So do I understand it correctly that you're basically collapsing the panel onto a cross-section?
With which technique?
So you have length of stay, right, which
mm-hmm.
is fixed.
That's
and
right.
And then you have these covariates that you observe at multiple points in time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for essentially for turning it into a cross-sectional analysis.
Oh.
The question is which, sort of adjustment, is that sort of one way to think?
Yeah, let me clarify. The length of stay is a monthly measurement. So not fixed in that case. They're actually taking length of stay month by month. We did perform analyses of total length of stay, but they wanted it monthly.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is not collapsed the way you're suggesting.
Thank you.